Hallelujah. 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 Shall I say, God is good? Amen. Y'all know me, Alvin, but I'm here today to introduce you to one of my most beloved, I call it my queen sister in the body of Christ. Her name is Apostle Dr. Sylvia Prestille. She is a consultant to many nations and also an ambassador of peace for the United Nations. And she's going to pray for us and also share a few things as well. I'll share before she prays. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. McKinney. Hallelujah. We don't want to lose the presence of the Lord in this place. He's here. Could I just ask you to stand? Hallelujah. God, this is Memphis. Memphis, Tennessee. And we're crying out to you. We're entering your courts this morning, God. We're coming on behalf of the nations of the world. God, hear this little place, this little spot where men and women are gathered, Lord. How good it is and pleasant it is for men to gather together in unity, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we come because there's a nation that's dying, God, from city to city, from town to town, from country to country, Lord. And we come to bring life. We lift our heads to you, the omnipotent, the omniscient, the omnipresent God. We know that you hear us. Look down, Lord, and hear our hearts as we pray for our community, Lord, as we pray for our government officials, God, as we pray, God, in the name of Jesus for our governor, Lord, as we pray for our Senate and all the people that are making laws, God, in the name of Jesus. But because we're in Memphis, we don't stop here, Lord. We reach out to the persecuted Christians. We reach out to the underground church, God. We reach out to those who are dying for the name of Jesus Christ. My God, we join that crew today. God, we won't stop. When we stand, we're going to do all that we can to stand. Today, we put on the whole armor of Christ and we wear it boldly, Lord. We preach and teach the gospel. And Lord, we bless every home. We bless every community around the world that is standing before you right now. And we thank you that we come up as a sweet odor into your nostrils. Breathe the prayer of your saints. And as Job cried, I know my Redeemer lives. Ah, and you're going to stand up in these end times. And I thank you for showing yourself strong, God. Show yourself mighty. And on one accord, we say, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, hallelujah. I am Sylvia Prestille. I was born in Dyersburg, Tennessee. Amen. And I'm back home for a short season as we've traveled the nations of the world. Amen. We've been excited. We've been in war. We've been in all kinds of things. We've been in consecration camps. We've seen victories. We've seen the saints who were stripped of everything they had. We've seen children separated from parents. We've seen mothers struggling to bring their babies and to take care of them when their husbands were separated from them. This is what's going on in the nation of the world today. It's time for us to stand up. It's time when God opened the door for us to be in consultative status as an NGO with the United Nations and with ECOSOF, I was selected to lead the movement for children's rights. I'm seeing our children being stolen. In Aleppo, over 10,000 children disappeared. Are y'all not hearing me today? They disappeared. Hallelujah. In many of these places, many of the places, the spirit of mammon has created such an ugliness, a pedophilic spirit that is after the innocence of our youth. It sounds like the devil to me. Hallelujah. And I've been selected from humble beginnings, from just a child brought up in Dyersburg. I've been selected to represent you in the body of Christ to the nations of the world. Pray my strength. Amen. Pray that the children, that somebody will stand up and take example to save the innocents. Oh, I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about innocents. Amen. In the nations of the world. God bless you and thank you. Thank you so much, David. Hallelujah. We love you.
If y'all would stand, please, for the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Ray Bratchard, a Vietnam veteran.
Join with me, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, we want to welcome you to Awaken Memphis, and we celebrated the 100th week of intercession last night. Gino, welcome, Gino. All right, brother, soul winner. We engaged last night 100 weeks ago, and this all started through Ed Jackson here. Ed had a small group that we were meeting in the prayer room at Bellevue before COVID hit. And I guess there was about 8 or 10 of us that were meeting there in the prayer room once a month. And then when COVID hit, he said, let's start praying on the phone. It wasn't Zoom. It was just prayer call on the phone. I guess there was about 8 or 10 of us on the phone that were praying. And then Henry and I, Ronnie Stevens, got involved one night. And then we didn't get asked to pray that night. And we just said, well, we'll start our own prayer group. And that started 100 weeks ago. And Governor Lee joined us the first night, and Janet shared last night that he had an invite to join us last night. He said he would try to join us on the 104th, which would be the two-year anniversary of Zoom intercessory prayer. And Sister Sylvia here joined us last night. We didn't land until about 9:15 last night. We started at 6:45, and we finished about 9:15 last night. And people go, man, why did you go so late? Well, you know, if you watch the University of Memphis or the Memphis Grizzlies and they go into overtime, you don't leave the FedEx Forum, do you? I've saw a lot of this March Madness end up tied at the end of the game and nobody left the arena. They kept going. So that's what we did last night. We just let the spirit lead, and we had Sylvia close us out last night. It was a real blessing. Ben, could you come up here and share about this ministry here with this this is an incredible way to reach your neighborhood. I'm going to hand these DVDs out. Are they all different?
No, they're all the same.
All the same, okay.
Now, what this is Saturate USA. If you would, take note of that. The website address is on these DVDs. Saturate USA is committed to help us as a church to reach every home in America. And here's the good thing. They will provide this DVD of Jesus, two or three Jesus movies, one of them which has been the most watched movie in the history of the world through Campus Crusade for Christ. And then they will provide gospel tracts and the little bag for them to go to every home in our zip code. And what you do is you go to Saturate USA and you register for a zip code, and they will send you one of these things. They'll send you the materials. You got to put them together for yourself, for every home in that zip code, free. They'll pay the bill for this, pay the shipping, pay everything. All we got to do is get the stuff to the homes. Just get it hanging on a door. Now, if you're a pastor here today, please check out this. And if you're here and your pastor is not here, please take one of these and bring it to them. And if you go to Saturate USA, there's some SaturateUSA.org. There are some good videos and things that explain what this is going on and what's happening throughout the country with this. So anyway, thank you for allowing me to share. They want to do a conference call with you and me later today. You going to do that?
Yeah, it would be great. Ben has been very, very helpful in providing the Voice of the Martyr daily prayer guides. I don't know how many of you picked one of those up, but it's just been incredible. Every day you get to pray for a different nation, and that was a leather-bound edition. You had a couple cases that were dropped here, and we had the new edition of the Voice of the Martyrs that Brother Tommy indicated had an extra 200 pages in it that had been added from the original Voice of the Martyrs because of all the different persecution and things that have been happening around the globe with the death of a persecuted church. Corporate chaplains, this is one of Gary Meyer's friends. I'm going to have him come up here and share briefly. This is an incredible ministry in the marketplace. When I worked at Barnhart Crane and Rigging, we had four corporate chaplains that went around and basically just went to each individual office and prayed with the employees. And it was really a blessing. And a lot of them pastor, and they go to the corporations, and it's such a needed ministry. If you just want to share a little bit about what you do with Gary, and then I'll tell you what, you know Gary better than I do, probably. I'll let you introduce him, okay? All right.
Well, it's an honor to be here. I thank Gary for inviting me, and another one of the men that I serve as a chaplain, who's also a pastor, Philippe, is here. So just great, and Gary has his wife, Marianne, with him. So, Marianne, so... So I'm a corporate chaplain, company chaplain. I serve at eight different companies around Memphis, Southeastern Freight Lines being one of them. So, you know, Southeastern Freight Lines is a great, great trucking and shipping company. In all the states that they're in, they've got a chaplain at every location. Just some cool stuff. But, yeah, about 26 years ago, God put it on the heart of a man to serve his friend's business and minister to the employees. And one thing led to another. Here we are 26 years later. Just yesterday, we reached 49,492 salvations since that started. Yeah. So, our worship leader this morning mentioned that God orders our steps. And I was just going to mention that about 5 years ago, a team of men and women from Houston, Texas, came up and trained me when I was living in Chicagoland about sharing the gospel and ministering to people just one-on-one and making disciples. And it really stoked a fire in me. And then little did I know a couple years after that God would call me, you know, out of pastoring and into corporate chaplaincy, where I'm out, you know, serving and ministering among more lost people. So our mission is to build caring relationships with the hope of gaining permission to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ in a non-threatening manner, because we're in the public workplace. So yeah, I serve Gary, and from the first time I met him, I found out that he attends Messianic Synagogue congregation in this city, and is a believer in Jesus and worshiper of the Lord, he and his wife. And so, he's a dear brother, and I've seen him living the life there. I know he's a hardworking man. He and the others that run around and do what he does saved the company. Gosh, what was it? How many million dollars last year? It was crazy.
Well, I have to find a million myself, but all in all, I think you made over $50 million.
Yeah. So anyway, just a neat little thing. But so just faithful at work. That's what I'm trying to say. Just truly faithful at work and a witness, and has his integrity. So praise God, the Lord brought him through his hip surgery. God brought him through. He preached the funeral for one of our drivers that actually got killed in Cincinnati. So let me just pray for you. Did you want me to pray for him or just introduce him? Okay. Are you ready, bro?
What about the testimony?
Oh, is there a testimony first?
We just had one.
Okay, that was it. Okay, I should answer.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this blessed morning, and just thank you for our sister that prayed. Thank you for our praise and worship team. Just thank you, Lord, for the Spirit, truly the presence of God that's here. And we just truly pray that you come alongside your servant, Gary, to let him know We love his excitability and his energy, Lord, and we just pray that you would just continue to use him to bless us this morning, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Come on up, brother.
Folks, at the conclusion, be sure to get one of the handouts or the outlines that go to all the pastors that want to vet me before I speak, and also everyone who hears the talk gets an outline as well, okay? So be sure to get one, take it home and study it. There's more information in that than there is in my talk itself.
I'm happy to be here today, and I wanted to sound the shofar to you, but I had my hands full in the rain coming in, and unfortunately it broke. But that's okay. You know why it's okay? Because we're going to hear the real shofar one day when Michael sings it, plays it for us, and we're going to hear the trumpet of God play, the shofar. And if you really want to Google it before then, you can Google the sound of a shofar. But neither way, we're going to hear the real one day, and praise be to God, because that will announce the coming of the line of the tribe of Judah, okay? So that's great. I am thankful to be here today. Just one thing in introduction. I'm so thankful for Michael being here, my chaplain at Southeastern Freight Lines. I'm thankful to Philippe, one of our line haul drivers, who helped me hustle when I couldn't even back a tractor trailer about 15 years ago in the yard. So thankful to you, Philippe. He's a great man of God right here. This man, Philippe Faneuil. He goes to toward Atlanta every day. I'm thankful for Dr. Alan Raich, a foot doctor here in Collierville, who lives in Germantown, who's our elder at Brit Hadashah. And I'm thankful to my wife, who is, you know, God is my rock and my salvation, but my wife is my pillow. My Jewish wife, Marion, and I'm thankful for her today as well. I'm grateful to Henry, David, and Dave for the opportunity to speak to you this morning, my friends. Today I deliver to you the same message I request to deliver to your congregations across America, whether by Zoom or in person, a message which describes God's heart now, his heart today, for the Jews and the nation of Israel. God's heart for his people, Jews and Israel, even 2,000 years after Messiah came and lived and died and was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. This ministry is my labor of love, free to every congregation across America, regardless of the denominational distinctions. So it is a message to all mainline churches across America. You hear me? Call me, Utah. Call me, California. And by Zoom, I'll give them this talk. To all mainline congregations, in order that they may know that they may no longer believe in replacement theology, and in order that you, as Christians across America, have the same high regard for all Jews which the Father of God, the Father God has today for them. Today, and back 100 years ago, and 2,000 years ago, and 4,000 years ago, Father God has the same regard for Jews today in 2022, and he will have the same regard for Jews in 3,062. In spite of the fact that many of the Jews today are, according to Paul, in Romans 11:28, in spite of the fact that many Jews today are enemies of the gospel, God still loves them. You hearing me? Now, this talk originated as a request of Jeannie DeBow of St. Luke's Methodist on Highland, right by Memphis State, where Marion and I go every other, maybe about every 8 weeks, every other month, to feed the homeless there in their homeless ministry on Sunday morning for about 2 hours. Jeannie, who has a Sunday school class there at St. Luke's, had asked me how Messianics worship and how my worship differs from her Methodist worship, and whether I would come and talk to her Sunday school class, which I did November 8th. My wife Marion and I have been attending Brit Hadashah for about 10 years in Memphis. So I begin today by giving a brief description of what you will find if you were to come to Brit Hadashah and visit there. Brit Hadashah literally means new covenant. Brit Hadashah is a messianic Jewish synagogue. So that means at Brit Hadashah, we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and Savior of the world. And the Savior of all who put their trust in Him, whether they're Baptists or Catholics, or whether they're Messianic, or whether they're Assemblies of God or anything else. We are located in East Memphis off Quail Hollow Road, roughly between Ridgeway and Ridgeway and Kirby, right by Ortho Memphis, a great place, by the way. I've been there many times with 8 surgeries in 10 years. Trust me, they know me well. So, we're a Messianic synagogue, and Brit Hadashah literally means new covenant. Brit Hadashah is a Messianic synagogue, so that means we believe in the Messiah. Our congregation is composed of Jews and Gentiles. We're about 40% Jews and 60% Gentiles, but nobody asks. Nobody cares. It's welcome to all. It's so diverse, in fact, it's probably much more diverse than your congregation. Because in that congregation, we have white and black. We have Hispanic. We even have people from China. And Trey Campbell, he's from, not Trey, his wife, Sherelle, is from Australia. And she speaks like it, too. We have Asian. We have married, divorce, you name it. We're very diverse, and it's beautiful. It's like the final Sukkot, if you know what I mean by that. We worship on Saturday morning since it is the Sabbath day. Worshiping from about 10:30 to 12:30, and we have a Torah class in our fellowship hall at 9 o'clock. Now, Torah, remember, represents the first 5 books of the Hebrew Scriptures, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Our worship consists of a team of musicians, just like we had up here, and also a Torah service, where we unroll the scroll that is behind closing there, and we take it out, and we unroll it, and we read from it. We read first from the Hebrew Scriptures, from the Torah, Genesis through Deuteronomy, depending on what week it is for the Jewish year. And then we read from the Haftarah, which is the prophets. And then finally we read from the Bezerah, which is the Gospels. All 3 of those are read from. By the end of the High Holy Days in the fall, in September, we will have read from portions from the entire Torah, Genesis through Deuteronomy. We also occasionally have selected readings from a Siddur, which is like the Methodist hymn book or prayer book. We have the Jewish Siddur, which has got selected readings that are very, very good. They're not inspired, but they're very well-written poems and readings. We give, we pray, and we have a message, just like your congregation. Often during the singing, people like me, ladies and men and children, will stand up, and Jeff back there, Jeff Hamer, by the way, because he's a good dancer and a good singer, will get up and dance in Jewish fashion around the room. Even Mr. Allen will do that, and did it at our Purim get-together we had just the other night to represent another time that they tried to kill the Jews and were not successful, because there never will be, okay? Amen? So Messianic Judaism in Brit Hadashah is basically an expression of the first century congregation that you find in the book of Acts. Read the book of Acts. Read it literally and see who it's talking about. Our congregation is an expression of that. And in the book of Acts, you'll recall that at first, the church, we call it, was entirely Jewish. They worshiped in the Sabbath, or they worshiped on the Sabbath, Jesus, their Jewish rabbi, whose name in Hebrew is Yeshua, which means Savior or Joshua. And they kept the Jewish feasts because they were Jews. Feasts such as Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, Hanukkah. The Feast of Dedication is also called Hanukkah. and Purim, which we just celebrated, the Feast of Lots. Eventually, the Apostle Paul began to preach to Gentiles in the book of Acts, as you recall. And they were added to this Jewish assembly of believers in Messiah Yeshua, the rabbi. And they worshiped together in the synagogue or in house churches. They worshiped together all over that known world. Now, I'm a Gentile. My mom was Finnish from Upper Peninsula, Michigan. My grandfather, my dad and my grandfather were German. I don't think Myers is Jewish. I don't have any. But anyway, I'm a Gentile. Marion, on the other hand, is Jewish. Her dad was Jewish. So I'm a Gentile. She's a Jewish believer in Messiah Yeshua. But basically at Brit, the Jewish believer can worship God and practice his messianic-centered faith in a context that respects Jewish life and tradition. Messiah doesn't ask any of us to stop being male or female, black or white, Jew or Gentile, when we come to believe in him, does he? Non-Jewish believers like myself enjoy being a part of Brit for several reasons, including our stand for Israel like you do. That means we applaud Israel. We're for Israel, like this country has been for so long. And God has blessed this country because they have been. And God will not do it if they refuse to. And I enjoy because we embrace the Jewish roots of the Christian faith that we all engage in, whether we know it or not. And because of our stand for Israel and our love for the Jewish people. Our congregation is governed by elders like yours, I'm sure. And we have shamashim. I'm one of the shamashim, which just means deacon. Much like Protestant churches do. So, and we practice baptism, mikvah. It's Jewish people believe in immersion too. A washing, a cleansing. It's older than the first century. A washing, a becoming of, you know, putting away your sins. Much like Protestant churches, we practice baptism. And we also, as a sign of one's beginning of devotion to Christ, we practice baptism. And we have the Lord's Supper observed on a regular basis as well. So we at Brit build bridges between Christian churches and Jewish people. We foster love for Israel and repudiate all forms of anti-Semitism. And we seek to educate Christians, churches, about the Jewish roots of the Christian faith. Now, let's transition. Let's transition our attention to the Hebrew Scriptures, because I can bloviate all I want, but here's what we need to know right here, okay? This is the proof, okay? Now, let's notice, first of all, from the Hebrew Scriptures, folks, that God made at least five separate covenants, four of which were made with the Jewish people. In Genesis chapter 9, God's covenant to Noah and all living creatures, even the animals, even the cats and the dogs and the deer that run in the field. In Genesis 9, to never destroy the earth again with a flood. This covenant with Noah is the only covenant that God the Father made with everyone. Then in Genesis 12, God establishes his covenant with Abraham through his eventual son Isaac, a great nation. He promises to give him a great nation and establish them in their land, which is Israel, not Palestine, by the way. Although I love Muslims very much. Trust me, I went to a four-day conference for Muslims. I love Muslims. They're like, wow, this is great. I thought you couldn't communicate with Muslims, but you can if you know them well enough. So I love Muslims, and God's doing a great work with them, by the way. But nevertheless, it was as God's desire to give him Isaac and a great nation, establish them in their land, and give them finally Messiah Yeshua. Included in this covenant with Abraham is God's promise to bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse her. And he's never changed his mind on that. Look at Barak. Look at any other nation that tries to take away Israel. All these promises to Abraham have been fulfilled, and God still promises to bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse her. Then in Exodus chapter 20, God establishes Mosaic covenant on Mount Sinai with the Israelites after he delivered them from Egyptian bondage for 400 years plus. Then in 2 Samuel 7, another covenant is mentioned. This one you may not be as familiar with. Because of David, King David's earnest desire, though a fighting man, a man of blood, a very good man, though a flawed man like me. And I'm not David too, okay? I'm nothing like David. But anyway, a man that had the heart for God, who is described as a man after God's own heart, God establishes with David a permanent, because of his desire to make a permanent structure to replace the tabernacle, a tent-like structure, to make him a temple. God establishes him, or tells David, that I will make from your lineage that no one will serve in Israel that is not from your lineage, David. And the final king to serve on that lineage will be Messiah Yeshua himself. Amen? And then in Jeremiah 31 is the one that we really need to pay attention to. It's the new covenant. Now think about it, folks. It's in Jeremiah 31. Who is he talking to? To the Jews. It's a covenant to the Jews. If you don't believe that, you want to look in the New Testament, look at Hebrews 8:8. He's talking to the Jews. He's given the Jews a new covenant. He's not giving it to Gentiles, but hold on. We'll get there. But it's to the Jews. A new covenant I'll make with you, Jews. When I take away your hard heart and give you a heart of flesh and you'll receive my spirit and all. You read it for yourself. And if you don't want to read it from the Hebrew scriptures, read it from 8:8 of Hebrews. Gentile believers like me are grafted in to this covenant that God made originally with Jews. How it differed from the Mosaic covenant is that God would write upon their heart the laws of God and give them a desire to keep the covenant of God. So he gives us his spirit, does he not? Isn't that what happened in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost? We receive the spirit of God that lives in our heart, that prompts within us sanctification, which we never arrive at, but which we try to work to do in our carnal state, right? Okay, so God doesn't just give it to King David and maybe a Samuel. He gives it to every one of us who believe in Messiah Yeshua. That's how God's walking closer to us, getting closer to us. He's getting closer to us. He's getting closer to us because he's trying to restore what we just damaged in the beginning of time in the garden and also by our own efforts, by sin and rebellion in our heart, because the heart is deceitfully wicked. Okay, don't forget that. And don't believe the lies of the accuser that says that you're not worthy of his love, by the way. So he gives us a spirit. So then God establishes at least five covenants in the Hebrew scriptures, all except for the Noahic covenant were given into his covenant people, Israel. Also in the Hebrew scriptures, in Leviticus 23, that's a very important chapter, by the way, God appointed the Sabbath day and the seven festivals of the people of Israel to observe on certain days of the year. Why certain days? Because these are God's days of worship. These are God's days. God has a right to choose which days that the Jewish people should worship him specially on. And that's called the Moedim, the appointed days of God. So rather than me making up a day and say, I think I'll worship God this day, I think if I'm Jewish, I'll honor the day that he says. And they are the Passover, also, of course, Shabbat, which is the day of rest every week, but Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Day of the Atonement, and Feast of Tabernacles. Four of these occur in the spring of the year, and three occur in the fall. These all describe in the Hebrew Scriptures as God's appointed holy days and are a lasting ordinance for generations to come. What does that mean, a lasting ordinance for generations to come? It means that to Jews, these are permanent. It means that God's never going to say they don't matter anymore because we're in 2022. Jews, you don't have to keep the Sabbath day anymore. You don't have to keep Passover anymore. You don't have to keep the Yom Kippur or any other the holy days. They're given to his people to keep forever as a lasting ordinance for generations to come. So that is why in the New Testament we find Jesus, the Jewish rabbi and Messiah. We find the Jewish believers in Messiah. We find in the book of Acts Paul and all the believers in the first century keeping these feasts. I've got 20 verses here I can give you, but it's also on the handout that tell you about what days they honored. Okay? Gentile believers were not given these feasts. I wasn't given these feasts. I don't have to keep these feasts as a Gentile. And therefore, we're not required to keep them. However, all these feasts are a depiction of a Messiah, Yeshua. They all point to him. But they're not replaced. They just enhance him for the Jewish person. And they're really taught to teach the Jewish people to believe in him when he comes, because they're all instructed that way. Now, all these feasts are depicted in the Lord. The first have been fulfilled in Messiah already, but the last three have not. The fact that God gave these feasts to the people of Israel as a lasting ordinance to generations to come tells me, and should tell you, that he intends for them to keep them forever. So don't be surprised if Jews do that in your community, that walk to the Sabbath, for example. They walk on the Sabbath day, or they keep the feast, or they go on the day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, or whatever. They go and they worship, because that's what God told them to do. Whether they believe in Messiah or not, that's what they do. In addition, from the Hebrew Scriptures, we find several prophecies. Now, this is where it's going to get good. That have reference to the Jewish people and are yet to be fulfilled. Let me offer a couple of them to you. This is where it's fun. First of all, I'm going to look at Ezekiel 37. In Ezekiel 37, verse 4, it says, "Then he said to me, prophesy," he's saying, God's saying to Ezekiel, "prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these dry bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life." Ezekiel 37, verse 4 and 5. Now we go to Ezekiel 37, verses 11 through 14. "Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." Did he say they're Gentiles? What did he say here? Are we supposed to allegorically think these are Gentiles he's talking about? No, these are Jews. And he says to the whole house of Israel, they say, these Jews, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to these dry bones, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from there, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, Jews, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." Now, let's move over in the same chapter to Ezekiel 37, verse 22. Now, he's doing this already. He's restored already 9 million, I think, Jews back to the homeland from everywhere under heaven. But what he hasn't done, but what he will do, is it comes in verse 22. "I will make them one nation in the land. On the mountain of Israel, there will be no king over them." No, I'm sorry. "There will be one king over them, and they will never again be two nations." Remember the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes? "And they'll never be divided into 2 kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols." Remember how they had a hard time with idols? I did too, by the way. I was very materialistic for 49 years, but God is faithful, and he delivered me from that. Praise the Lord. "They will no longer defile themselves with idols and the vile images on which they did all their offenses, for I will save them from their sinful backsliding, and I will cleanse them, and they will be my people." Finally, after all these years, they're going to learn to be my people, so help me myself. Can we say it like that? God determined it. "My servant David will reign over them." David's dead. This is a difference, David. "My servant David will be king over them, and they will have one shepherd." That's the Messiah, folks. That's not David. Okay? He's dead. "They will follow in my ways and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I gave my servant Jacob, in the land where your fathers live. They and their children, their children's children, will live there forever." Now, is something going to happen to Israel? No. Nobody's going to destroy Israel. If you don't believe it, read the back of my handout, my card, my messianic card. That's God's promise also from Jeremiah 31. And David, Messiah, will be prince over them forever. And I will make a covenant of peace with them. We'll finally have peace. Me and my son will have peace. And it will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and put my sanctuary among them in Jerusalem forever. My dwelling place will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations, me, China, Korea, Yugoslavia, Honduras, will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them forever. All right. Now, let's look at Isaiah chapter 11 very quickly. Isaiah 11, this one I love. Isaiah 11 speaks of Messiah's second coming. And in verse of Isaiah 11, verse 4b, he says, "He, Messiah, will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be in his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear and not be eaten. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox, and the infant will play near the hole of a cobra, and the young child put his hand in the viper's nest. They will not neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for all the peoples of all the nations, and all of the nations will rally to him. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time and reclaim his remnant, those lost Jews that are in Assyria and Egypt and Babylon," etc., etc., etc. "I haven't seen yet a little child stick his hand in a cobra's den yet, but one day it'll happen." So these are a prophecy yet to be delivered or yet to be fulfilled, but will be, because God is faithful. So this prophecy depicts a future time then when Israel's enemies will be defeated and when Jews will cry out. Oh, hold on. I'm getting ahead of myself. Hold on. I didn't get there. Zechariah, this is the best one. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Zechariah 12, this is the best one. You got to get this one. Zechariah 12, 1 through 3 says this. "This is a word of the Lord concerning Israel." All right, who is this talking about? Me? An American? No. Finnish people like my mom? No. Germans like my dad? No. It's talking about Israel. "The Lord, who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundation of the earth, who forms the spirit of man within him, declares." What does he declare? We better listen. It's the Lord. It's not even your boss. It's the Lord. "And he declares, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends out all the surrounding peoples reeling." Jerusalem will be so much a strong place that it'll call all enemies around her to reel away in fear. God's going to do that. "On that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it," Israel that is, Jerusalem that is, "will injure themselves." Don't mess with Jerusalem, folks. And then in verse 9, "On that day I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem." And then verse 10 of Zechariah 12. And here's the good part, the real good part. "And I, the Lord, will pour out on the house of David," the Jews, "and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, a spirit of grace." So he's not going to be mad at them anymore. He's going to be looked toward them with grace and supplication. "And they will look on me, whom they pierced." Who is that? Messiah Yeshua. "And they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son." Pow. Doesn't get any better than that, folks. So the Jews will come to faith. Okay? It says it right here. So this is a prophecy that depicts a future time, obviously, when Israel and enemies will be defeated and when many Jews will cry out, "Baruch haba, b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." One last example of a prophecy yet to be fulfilled can be found in Zechariah 8. I love this one even as much as that one, because this speaks to guys like me and gals like you. This one is in Zechariah 8, and this speaks about the nations. What about everybody that's not Jewish? Well, in chapter 8 of Zechariah, verse 3, it says this. This is what the Lord says. I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the holy mountain. Now look at verse 22. This is it. And many nations, or many peoples. All right, what does that mean, Lord? Korea, Honduras, China, Russia, Putin's country, and every one of us, every nation, and powerful nation, every peoples and all powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord. What? Yeah, it's in there. It's in there. It's in there. Like Prince Spaghetti, remember that commercial years ago? It's in there. The sauce, that is. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, now this is it. 10 men from the languages and nations will take home. Oh, and I'm not Jewish, but I'm using this for example, okay? I don't generally wear the tallit in worship because I think Jews should do that. Occasionally I wear the kippah. But I let Jews wear this. I'm just doing it for display for you. But in that day, in those days, 10 men from 10 nations will take the hold of one Jew by the hem of his tallit and say, please, let us go with you because we have heard that God is with you Jews. Boy, that's powerful. So Zechariah 8 verse 3 speaks that of something that is yet to be fulfilled one day. And all of these passages and countless more speak of the fact that God has great future plans for the people of Israel. So from the Hebrew scriptures then, we find four covenants, the Sabbath day and seven appointed feasts, and several future prophecies that all have reference to the Jewish people. They all tell us that God is not done with the Jewish people. So as we've already said, when you look at the book of Acts, though, you find that the early church, we call it, of the first century was basically an expression of Messianic Judaism, of the synagogue. They were considered the way. They were a sect of Judaism. They were an offshoot of Judaism. They worshipped in the synagogue their Rabbi Yeshua on Saturday and kept the Jewish feast. In fact, the church began on the feast day, the Jewish feast day of Shavuot, 50 days after Passover, which we call Pentecost, or, you know, 50 days on Pentecost. Soon Gentiles began to be accepted and the Spirit of God moved in power and many came to faith. Jewish believers in Messiah and Gentile believers in Messiah worshiped together and things continued rather well until about the middle of the second century, and then it all hit the fan. Okay? And Gentile Christians like me began to do what Paul warned them not to do from Romans. And this is where Paul gives us instruction here. So turn to Romans, because a lot of this comes from Romans. And Romans chapter 1, Paul's asking this question, who himself is a Jew. He says, I say then, did God reject his people? By no means. I'm an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Look on at verse 7. What then? What Israel sought so earnestly it did not obtain. Romans 11. Romans 11, verse 1 and then verse 7. What then? Israel sought so earnestly it did not obtain, but the elect did. So most of them didn't, but those who even of the Hebrew scriptures that came to faith did. Few. The others were hardened, because God gave them a spirit of stupor so they could have eyes that could not see and ears that could not hear to this very day, even in 2022. Now look at verse 11 of Romans 11. Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? I mean, is it over for the Jews, folks? Is that what Paul's saying? Are they done? Is God through with them? Is he now said, forget you Jews, I'm turning to Gentiles. They're going to be more faithful than you. No. Is it over? Did they stumble beyond recovery? No, not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, in their turning away from Messiah, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel jealous. God's good, isn't he? And if their transgression, their turning away from Messiah, means riches for the Gentiles, then how much more will be their fullness. How much more will their fullness bring? In other words, he's saying they're going to come back to faith. He's anticipating they're coming back. And he told us already he did. They will. And verse 15, for if their rejection is the reconciliation of Gary in America and Gentiles like Finnish folks like me, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Verse 17, if some of you branches have been broken off, if some of the branches have been broken off, which is Jews, they're broken off because of faith. Remember John 15, abide in me and you'll have life. Away from me, you won't. If some of the branches have been broken off and you Gentiles, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among them and now share in the nourishing sap of the vine, of the olive root, you Gentiles better not boast over those branches. You better not say, forget the Jews. God, they had their chance. God's done with them. Blah, 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 blah. Talk like a carnal person. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say, branches were broken off that I could be grafted in. Granted, that's true, Paul says. But they were broken off because of unbelief. And you stand by faith. Do not be ignorant, but be afraid, for God did not spare. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he's not going to spare you either. All right. So then, he says in this next verse here, see, it's true. The eyes of most Jews today are veiled from recognizing the Messiah has come. But one day they will come to a fuller understanding. And then, as we read from the Hebrew Scriptures already, from the Hebrew Scriptures, and as we read from the New Testament, from the book of Romans, God will bring faith in Messiah to the Jews. God will have mercy on all people, Jews and Gentiles alike, because God loves all people, Jews and Gentiles. But for several hundreds of years, from the middle of the second century to today, that's about 1900 years, the church has believed the lie of replacement theology. And this is the reason for the ministry. This is the reason I'm talking to every Christian in America. And as responsible the Gentiles are of 1900 years of atrocities against God's people that God still loves, even in their unbelief, remember? Only until recently have some churches begun to discover God's eternal plan for his Jewish people that has always been there. It's been in the Bible long before me. Over 3,000 years these passages were written. Those of us who are Gentiles need to recognize that as Gentiles believers, we have been called by God to honor the Jewish people, not hate them, not think that God's done with them. Because the Jewish people brought us monotheism, belief in one God. That's what they were supposed to declare as a light to the Gentiles, one faith in the one God. The Jewish people for thousands of years have been the guardians of Holy Scripture. They brought us the Bible. In addition, the Jewish people brought us Gentiles, the Hebrew roots of our faith, and the lineage of the Jewish people we have received into our hearts, Messiah Yeshua, that was promised to Abraham. Let us, as a Gentiles believer in Messiah, rise up in respect and love with the Jewish people, for the Jewish people, since according to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, we as Gentile disciples of Jesus owe our very spiritual existence to them. Let me close by reading a passage of a paper I wrote for Colson Fellows. Remember Chuck Colson? He went to prison under Nixon administration just for about 8 months, but he started the prison ministry. Well, I did a paper for Colson Fellows as a representative for them on the four worldviews: naturalism, transcendentalism, postmodernism, and theism. And in that theism section of the paper, I commented about the basic story that's in the Bible that I discovered to be true, even as Chuck Colson presented it like that, not even being a Jewish person or a Messianic person. He said it so well, and how then shall we live? And this is what I wrote. This is my quote of myself. The Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, are God's story to mankind. They represent how he wants us to understand the world from his perspective. Once again, we're not the center of the story. He is. Now, we are part of the story, but the story is not ultimately about us. It's about him. His story reveals four parts: creation, the fall, redemption, and restoration. Considering the four parts of Scripture, creation addresses where this world came from and who we are in this world. The fall reveals to us that we are living in a world much different from the way it was originally made, that something went drastically wrong. Redemption is how God, out of his love, provided the way for us to return to freedom and peace with him, ourselves, our wife, and others. And finally, restoration discloses that this world will one day be returned and renewed and remade into the way that the Creator originally intended it to be. So the Bible is more than just a collection of 66 separate books. It's a unified message that must be understood as a narrative in its entirety. From beginning to end, it is a story of God's story to mankind in a four-part drama. Since God is absolutely just and moral, he cannot allow the injustices that have been done to all people under heaven of every nation go unpunished. The scriptures record for us a consistent theme that runs throughout his pages, which involves the Jewish people of Israel that he made eternal covenants with and brought through their lineage the Redeemer. Toward the end of time, this same people, this Jewish people, will return to the land they were promised, to Israel. The land will once again flourish numerically, agriculturally, and economically. And folks, if you have been reading the news, it's happening, okay? We can all see that these are happening now. Not only will they return to their land, they will return to their God in their hearts to receive Messiah, Yeshua, themselves. We read that too, remember? Which will usher in the final act in God's drama, restoration. A restoration of his people, his land, and a restoration of the entire world will occur. The Messiah will bring an era of peace that this world has never seen. Since God loves every nation, tribe, and tongue, all people will benefit from this restoration. Wrongs will be made right, evil will be appropriately addressed, and those who have perpetuated harmful, illegal, and immoral actions will have to give an accounting to the God who made them. The entire world will be restored into the beauty it once had before man turned away from God in the garden. That's the end of my quote. One paragraph more. Just listen up. This is the end of my reading from my paper on worldviews. And I, by the way, I can email you that whole paper. We studied it in our Havara, and they loved it, which is a small group. We are witnesses. What I'm saying here, every one of us here are witnesses. In America, we're here for a purpose. God didn't put us here for no good purpose. We here today, that are living today, are here for a purpose. And we are witnesses to these things. We are witnesses, first of all, to how God in 1948 established about 70-something years ago a nation of Israel after 1,900 years of being tossed all over the world, kicked out of their homeland, stolen from, abused, forced to become a Christian, and everything else we've done in the name of Christianity, by the way. The thing that Paul warned about, by the way, in Romans 11, instead of regarding them, we said, you Jews, God hates you Jews, you put Messiah on the cross. Folks, the leaders did. Because they were threatened. You threaten the government. You threaten the leader. You say you're the Messiah. He overturns the tables. The leaders, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, with their wealth that they can charge so much for their sacrifices, the leaders put in this. They just hailed him as the Messiah who in Palm Sunday. Don't you remember? The leaders were threatened. We are witnesses how God established a nation. We are witnesses to Jews returning to their homeland, nearly 9 million now. That is as Ezekiel prophesied in chapter 37 that we read. We are witnesses to how the land of Israel is once again blossoming. You know, if they put me over there, I'm a land of rocks, it won't be successful. But you put a Jew over there, you put Marion over there, she could plant a garden in that land. Me, no helping me, because I'm not Jewish. The land wasn't given to me, but it's a beautiful land now. And we're witnessing that. It's a land of blossoming wine and fruit. They're even turning the Dead Sea into water they can drink. Now that blows me away. But those Jews are smart. And we are witnesses to how the nations all over the world are gathering around Israel to do her harm. But we know already the end of that story. So let us, you, me, you Christians in Utah and in California and you people in Minnesota that are Baptists and Methodists and whatever else you do, as I come to your church and give this message by Zoom, let us not, as Gentiles, as Christians, be haughty and arrogant, thinking God loves us Gentiles, but not those Jews. Not those Jews. Let's not just, you know, let's not those Jews. God loves us Gentiles, not those Jews. Let us remember that the inspired Apostle Paul, who said to Gentiles, in Messiah, that we are grafted in benefactors to all the promises of God to Israel. And let us remember that God still loves or God still continues to bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse her? See, it comes down to this. It matters. You know, we say something matters today, right? Well, it matters this. It matters what people think about Jews. It matters what people think about Israel because they matter to God. My name is Gary Myers. I will have a website that is being built now called soundingtheshofar.net. But if you want to contact me now, listening audience, it's gmyers, G-M-Y-E-R-S, 2@comcast.net. And I will say in Zoom your message that way, or I will come in person. And it's free. And they give your sermon, your preacher, a day off, and he can relax for a change. But you don't pay me, because this is my heart for my wife's people and the people I love. Thank you for your time and attention.
You know, Jerusalem is mentioned 830 times in the scriptures for a reason. John was not Baptist. Mary was not Catholic. Jesus was not a Christian. They were all Jewish. Let that sink in. John was not Baptist. Mary was not Catholic. And Jesus was not a Christian. They were all Jewish. I mean, that was sort of hard to sort of take all that in that quick, but it'd be worth studying the importance of our relationship with the nation of Israel. And, you know, the president, the leader of the Ukraine is Jewish. Magog is coming down from the north. I mean, the stage is set. We need to be in tune. We need to listen. We need to be about the Great Commission the best that we can. Ed, if you could come up here and do the challenge that Henry normally does about the Sunday outreach at Shelby Farms. We meet now from 5 to 7 because of daylight savings time. And it took us 15 minutes to get into the park Sunday afternoon. There were so many people out there. And then when you got in, you couldn't find a parking spot. It's just incredible the amount of people out there.
Yeah, you can share about your experience. Thank you, David. And before I get into evangelism and Shelby Farms, we too are thankful for the 100 weeks of prayer, for the Zoom group, and also for the other. After 1 year, it was 9 groups that branched off of us, and I'm thankful for all those. I quit counting after 9. God told David, don't take inventory, just keep going. So I said all of that to say this. A path forward is going to be real important to think of replication and duplication. Not how long, how many, and who, but we're all responsible for duplication and replication. And that's what Shelby Farms is all about. Thank you, David. Jesus told Peter, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And later on, they were together in a teaching setting in a boat. Peter was tired. He didn't want to do nothing else. He'd been fishing all night. And he said, cast your net on the other side. Well, last July, 4th weekend, at least in part, we found out where the other side is. One of the places the other side is Shelby Farms. And multiple people up around a total of 175 has prayed to receive Christ. 7 this past week. I've been... Don't misunderstand this now, but I've been privileged to hear scores of people to pray to receive Christ that I talked to, and about half of them is at Shelby Farms. So it's a big part of my ministry. And things are happening at Shelby Farms more so than coming to hear people pray to receive Christ. There's New Testament gospel type happenings. We were there the other day and a lady came up weeping. She overheard what was going on, and she wanted us to pray for a friend whose son was terminally ill with cancer. And we laid hands on her, and we prayed for her request. I thought of Jairus in the Bible. I believe God heard her prayer. I believe this person we're praying for is going to be healed. So the Lord, speaking through Jeremiah, said, "When you search for me with all your heart, mind, and soul, you will find me." Henry Blackaby said, if you want to get close to God, look and see where he's working and go there. He's working at Shelby Farms. Would like to see you out there if you don't do nothing but hand somebody a bottle of water. Jesus sees that. If you smile at somebody, the international community loves it when people give them time and conversation. So there's multiple ways to share the gospel. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we all could stay home on Sunday evening and do something for self, and unfortunately, most of the time, people do that. But you think about a 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon, start loading up your cooler with ice and water, and you head toward Shelby Farms, as David said. Come early because there's a crowd of people there, much like the stories in the New Testament. Crowds of people, and that's good. That's good. So you come and be a part, and God will bless your life in richly.
Gino's a faithful brother on Monday night, and he had a lady. There was a lady that we were just leading worship on the front end, and she came up, wanted to know what we were doing, and we told him what we were about. I'm going to turn it over to you. And then she joined us on prayer last night, but y'all went out and led a person to Christ from that encounter.
Yeah.
Chuck?
Just like David said, a lady just came up because of the worship that was going on. She came up and wanted to join in, and she's actually a Christian counselor also. But then we went out, young lady, 27 years old, Khadijah, and a young man, Lamarius, gave their life to Christ, you know, by us just coming out there, teaching them the word of God and just giving, walking them through the Romans Road. So I like to say that I came here in 2003. I have been praying because when I came here from Virginia, when I came to this area, I noticed that all the churches were broken up, you know, black churches, white churches. And for me, being a Christian and just being born out of season, I didn't understand that, you know, because I say when I see myself, I don't see myself as a person of color. I see myself as a man of God, you know. And I would say to David and Henry, God, that was my prayer when I came to Memphis, that we would join together and be as one for God. And this is the fruition of that coming to pass. So God is doing a mighty, great thing in this area, you know, because God is putting his army together. You know, I was a Navy guy, retired Navy guy, but the Navy, we need the Marines, we need the Army, we need the Air Force. We need all us to come together so that we can go do this thing for God. So I would just say, put your hand to the plow. God is in this place, not just in this building, in this little garage here, but he's in the place of Memphis, and he wants to rise us up and do a great thing among his people. So that was a perfect message about the Jews and the Gentiles, because we all really are one, you know. So it matters not what persuasion you are, where you came from, or what nation you're from, but God has risen us as one nation. So I want to thank David and Henry for what they've done, and come out and join us at Shelby Farms. I'm saying the labor's a few, but the fruit is plentiful. If you just go out there and hand them a tract, give them some water, and ask them, do they want to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ? And that's all we got to do. That's what we're here for. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. There's a little brochure on your table that says 50 reasons to use gospel tracts. And this right here, there's 50. I mean, it's so non-threatening to hand someone a gospel tract, whether it's in Arabic, Spanish, Hindi, whatever it is, out at Shelby Farms. I mean, the Chick publication tracts, people will sit there and read them right on the spot. It is incredible, the response that people have out there with a gospel tract, the Chick publication tracts. And 80% of winning or anything is just suiting up and showing up. And the Lord has prepared hearts out there every single week. The Lord has prepared hearts out there. Chuck, come up here and close us in prayer. Chuck is a businessman. He's also a pastor. Is it Magnolia Baptist Church in Olive Branch? And I've asked Chuck, and I connected yesterday at the luncheon at Bellevue with David Barton. And this brother right here, I've known, gosh, I don't know, 35 years or so.
Broadway, way back,
maybe 40 years or so. And I've asked Chuck to deliver the word next week. But, Chuck, if you could close us in prayer and tell them what you do for a living. You're a layman. You know, that's what I appreciate about Gary. Gary's a layman. You know, he's got a regular day job, and he's doing what he's doing. Brett Hottishaw has they opened up their church New Year's Eve for us to go out there and have worship to bring the New Year's Eve in. And then when Hamas was pounding Israel this past summer, I mean, they were getting rockets every single day. My employer, Todd Starnes, says, hey, we need to have a prayer rally for Israel. And he was going to have it at the station. I said, no, 350 Palestinians were marching downtown on Sunday. You don't want them to know where the station is. I said, why don't we find a church where we could have a prayer rally? And if something happens, it'll be a national event. And Brett Hottishaw, with a matter of 24 hours, allowed us to come in and have a prayer rally for Israel. I think we had over 100 people show up that night. And the very night that we got together and prayed for Israel, the rockets stopped.
Yes. Wow.
And, I mean, there was a lot of people around the world praying. But, you know, Brett Hottishaw opened up their doors for us. And Todd Starnes said that KWAM would be an ally, would be a friend of Israel. And we just need to press in and keep fanning the fire on what the Lord's doing here in Memphis. So, Chuck, if you could close us in prayer. Thank you for a great word. Yes, sir. Yes, come up here and share about your event real quick, okay? I'm sorry, Alvin. And then you close us. Hope you're not going to be late.
Late for a day.
Thank you. Excuse me, Chuck. Hi. I pastor Faith Apostolic Hub in North Carolina. So I fly back and forth each month for worship services with my team. And so I bring projects into different cities. One of the main things that we're bringing right here to Memphis this weekend is miracles. Oh, somebody say amen. Miracles. Every time I see somebody that can't see, every time I see somebody that limps, every time I see somebody with high blood pressure because I got healed. Amen. When I had a heart flutter and my cardiologist said, we don't know what it is, but it looks like a left something. I refuse to remember what it was, but God healed me. We need enthusiasm in our churches. We need people to see miracles. And we brought a man in from Lagos, Nigeria, who has now got citizenship in the U.S. And Friday on 4170 Riverdale Road, we're going to be healing. Come in the house and integrate it. Come on, because we're used to black assemblies. But we need some unity, right? Amen. Amen. I hope to see you. 4170 Riverdale Road, 7 p.m. nightly. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. On Saturday morning at 10 a.m., there's a breakfast for pastors. Amen. We love you. Thank you.
Dave, thanks for inviting me yesterday. I was excited about coming here this morning. If I can just share just a minute testimony. I rolled and tumbled all last night. I couldn't sleep. Got up this morning, didn't really feel that well. And I almost didn't come here. But I said, I'm coming because I'm committed. I told Dave I'd be here. And I wanted to hear Gary share his message. And I'll tell you what, the adversary fought me. And I felt resistance to come here this morning. But when I walked through that door, all the stuff in my head from work and church and everything that's going on in my life was left at that door.
All right.
And one thing that was shared, that you feel the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you something. It was like a breath of fresh air. When I walked through that door, I felt God's presence like I haven't felt in a long time. So I wanted to share that personal testimony with you. I'm refreshed. I'm lifted up. Great message. Thank you for sharing what you shared and the messages that have been shared here this morning. Is this every week?
Every Tuesday, 6:15.
I want to be a regular member. But God, thank you so much for inviting me. But let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love, your mercy, and your grace that you show us every single day. Not just every day, every hour, every minute, and every second. Every breath that we take, it's not by our will, but it's your will. You give us every breath that we breathe, every second of every day. And so we praise you for that. Father, I love the people in this room. It doesn't matter the color of our skin, where we're coming from, Gentile, Jew, whatever, you love us. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the group of people that are here today. Please bless them, encourage them, and use them today for your glory. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.